Representative John Fry joining us from
Ridgefield,
Ridgefield,
Connecticut.
Yes.
And Representative Fry, good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I know it's probably hard to get me in because it's such a slow news cycle going on right now.
Well, well, you know something, HB 6292, do you really believe, Representative Fry, that you can get some more money, but are you going to reduce absolutely the retirement of your buddies, your representative buddies? I mean, they're not going to get a retirement anymore?
Well, I actually introduced two pieces of legislation regarding pensions. So let's back up where we are today. So for the Governor Malloy's going to present his budget next week, as you discussed,
yep.
You touched on, for the seventh time. And last year he talked about this new economic reality. There's nothing new about it. You know, under his tenure, we've had these two huge tax increases, and they haven't solved the problem. One of the biggest problems that we have is the unfunded pension liability. It's equal to three times the amount of the state budget. It's huge. And so as I'm looking through, you know, how can we address the problem? The biggest problem is tackling that large unfunded liability. You know, we're hearing all these various tax increases being proposed. Tolls, which is nothing more than a tax. Cutting state aid to municipalities. We know that's going to happen in one form or another. It could be very drastic. Now, that's a tax increase because towns are going to increase their property taxes to make up that difference. That's going to probably cut the spending on schools. We're talking about a mileage tax. I mean, give me a break. Talking about raising the sales tax to 7%,
yeah.
Adding 1% on restaurants, changing the bottle bill, which is only a sweep to towns, a sweep to the state, increasing the cigarette tax, increasing the income tax, and licensing cats for crying out loud. I mean, that's nothing more than an employee for additional revenue.
But what do you think the income tax would go to?
Well, we don't know. I mean, they'll wait until they decide to plug it at the last minute. I mean, I remember a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, when I got the call from GE saying that they were going to leave if the next day the Finance Committee adopted these revenue estimates or the tax plan. That day it wasn't even subject to a public hearing. And that year, Governor Moy had said 14 times he wasn't going to raise taxes as late as April 1st of that year. And fast forward to May, the next day, we increased taxes across the board. Keep in mind, Brad and Dan, that, 3 years ago we had 8 billionaires in Connecticut. Right, we raised the income tax. Two of them left. That resulted in just those two people leaving a loss of $600 million in income tax alone.
Wow.
So anyways, in trying to address the problem, I think, okay, let's tackle not these, the licensing of cats and raising the cigarette tax and basically chump change, although real money. Let's address the problem. So I've proposed two bills regarding state pensions. The first one applies to all state employees, and that would be that the and we can talk about other fixes that should take place. For instance, the state employees contribute 2% of their income towards retirement, or most municipalities that's 5 to 8%. We could talk about how it should be deferred benefit plan versus deferred compensation plan. And we talk about those other things that should be part of the equation. But, okay, how can we put an immediate fix that should have broad consensus? The first is state pension should be based on your stated income only. In other words, if you're a state police sergeant and you make $85,000 a year, that's your stated income, not counting overtime, your pension should be based on that amount. Most municipalities, again, in the state, base their employees' benefits on their stated income. In other words, their expected salary for the year. Overtime is not counted towards that. But in addition, in Connecticut, we have other things. We count longevity pay. We count, in many cases, mileage and other sources of not necessarily income, but reimbursement sometimes to the employee as part of their formula based on their pension.
Representative, what about state lawmakers? Are you proposing then that state lawmakers no longer get a pension? Well, what are you proposing in that area?
I am. Okay. So I took a second step. I, okay, that's for the state employees in general. But then looking at state lawmakers. So our pension is based on our income, plus factored in there is also mileage reimbursement, which in some cases can be significant, and also the unvouchered expenses that lawmakers get. So it's either $4,500 for a state representative or $5,500 for a state senator. That is also included into the formula. In other words, your pension is based on your highest 3 years of income. Well, they look at, in the case of a lawmaker, their $28,000 base pay or plus leadership, and that brings up like $32,000 generally, plus the mileage, plus the unvouchered expenses. That becomes the basis of which your highest 3 years of income is based on.
Whoa,
it's well,
amazing.
Mileage and unvouchered expenses is not income.
And that's part, what they're doing
well,
is part-time.
Well, Representative, what's fascinating, for example, to illustrate your point, Senator May Flexer last year submitted a bill of $11,000 plus for mileage, which she's going to be able to factor into her pension, yet she doesn't have to declare that as income.
Correct. So then I got thinking, well, geez, you know, we pride ourselves as a part-time citizen legislature. Part-time employees should not participate in a pension program. Period. We're part-time. Right? We're not full-time. You know, I understand being compensated because, let's face it, it's the craziest part-time job you can probably ever imagine. You know, we're up there, 3 years, 1 year, 6 months the next, but then, you know, of course, the balance of the year, you know, there's a day go by, 7 days a week, that I'm not involved in some constituent matter or legislation or Boy Scout ceremony or you name it. So it's an odd job. So there should be compensation, and they should be reimbursed travel to the Capitol. I don't have a problem with that. But should you be getting a pension for a part-time job? You know,
well, this
I
is
say no. And I'll take it a step further where I think there could be more savings. I don't think that those years of service should count towards any state pension. In other words, if you're a state legislator for 12 years, 18 years, 20 years, and by virtue of your experience in the legislature, you're deemed that you're qualified for a position in executive government, so you because say you're chairman of the general law committee, and then the governor taps you to be commissioner of consumer protection. So then you serve 4 years there.
Yeah.
So then you have 24 years total, 20 years in legislature, 4 years as a commissioner. Well, your pension is based on 24 years of service, based on your highest 3 years of income. So you're getting, each year serving in the legislature part-time is kind of the same as your 4 years as far as longevity, as your 4 years of being a commissioner, or the same as that state trooper or DOT machine operator or corrections officer, that 1 year of service is 1 year of service. So I don't think years of service in the legislature should count towards pension, either standalone as a legislator or in continued state service.
You think you can get this passed?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's not going to be popular. It's the right thing to do.
Sure it is. I was just going to say the same thing.
But there should be consensus around both these bills. Stated income for all employees, no mileage. You know, state auditors, they get mileage. So it's not just legislators. State auditors get reimbursed mileage every day they go from the Capitol, from their home to the Capitol, which is 5 days a week. I mean, they're full-time jobs. That's based into their pension as well. So it's not just, there's all these little things embedded in state government that's driving us into the ditch.
Well, we'll talk again, and I just wanted, and I know Dan agrees with me, to get this out to our listeners, because I'm sure many of them don't understand this, but they do now.
Yeah, so, they've got to pay attention. I mean, really, today there's a public hearing on studying the mileage tax.
Yeah, I got to run. We'll be talking again, John.
Terrific.
We'll be talking again.
Dan, thank you.
You bet.